Spending a little time this morning on the line with Senator James Lankford. First of all, we're just a few days into January. Happy New Year. I hope your Christmas was pleasant and a happy one for you, sir.
It was. It was nice to be able to be with family. It was a nice New Year and a good start. Get a chance to do swearing in for a start of a new year, and that's always a nice transition that's happening here in Congress.
It is, and congratulations on taking the oath of office for the six-year term in your own right, and looks to like we're going to start the year off with a busy congressional session already. I guess we could start off just with the focus for the 115th Congress and a vision that President-elect Trump has for the country.
No, his focus seems to be on, number one, repealing Obamacare. Mike Pence came over and met with us all day. In fact, it was an interesting picture on the Hill yesterday as President Obama came over to meet with Democrats to be able to strategize with them to say, when I leave, do everything you can to protect Obamacare. And Mike Pence coming over, meeting with Republicans to say, here's the strategy and here's what we're going to do. Democrats, obviously, and most people know, they use the reconciliation method to be able to impose Obamacare. Did a straight party line vote. It will come out with the same way that it went in. And in the days ahead, there'll be the unfolding to say, okay, we've got to be able to get rid of this. So Obamacare will be first. It's caused a tremendous amount of damage. And I would tell you, there's not a lot of Democrats willing to defend it anymore. They've seen what's happened to them around the country when they try to support it. The American people do not support this. We've got immigration to deal with. A lot of tax policy and economic advancement. His focus is on how do we keep jobs and grow jobs in America. And so there'll be a lot of interaction with our tax policy and with our exports and what do we do in those areas. And so one after another, we'll try to unwind these. As I have done for the past 6 years, I'm going to continue to focus on government efficiency as well and try to deal with debt and deficit. We can't just ignore the debt and deficit when it continues to skyrocket. So I'm going to ask us to walk and chew gum at the same time and deal with some of these big issues.
Well, I think Congress and the federal government can and has multitasked in the past, maybe not recently, but they have done it in the past. You issued a statement after that meeting with Vice President-elect Pence about the Obamacare resolution, and you came out, I think, in some fairly strong language in favor of the repeal.
I am in favor of repeal, and the biggest issue that we face is what's really happened on the ground. Lots of Democrats step out and say, well, there are 20 million people that now have coverage. That's actually an interesting number because it's 20 million at the beginning of the year. It's 14 million by the end of the year. Even people that get onto Obamacare, 6 million of the 20 million drop it. And by far the greatest amount of people that have been added in aren't in the exchanges. They're on Medicaid. And the majority of those on Medicaid were already eligible for Medicaid before. They had just never signed up for it. So it's a fraction of the number of people that they're talking about, but it's caused tremendous damage to our hospital structure, to our basic insurance. Most people know there's only one insurance carrier left now in Oklahoma on the quote-unquote exchange. That cost went up 76% just this 1 year. So there are a lot of issues that are out there that we have to resolve, and it's a very bad decision to be able to put that in place when they put that in place years ago. And so we're going to work through trying to get it out and then to say, here's a better set of solutions. And those solutions really involve getting individuals greater choice, greater options, getting states more control that are closer to the individuals. Healthcare in Maine and Minnesota is very different than in Texas and Oklahoma, but the federal government treats it all the same. So we need to get it back towards states to be able to manage healthcare in a way that works for that state and the people.
One of the problems moving forward, I'm sure it's a solvable solution, but one of the problems is once you start giving people free stuff, it's very difficult to take it away from them.
No, it is. And I think the bigger issue for us on a healthcare issue is this is something that people now depend on. These are diabetics. These are cancer patients. These are individuals that are in critical situations, many of them. They need to not have happen to them again what happened to them 6 years ago. As you remember, at the beginning when Obamacare rolled out 6 years ago, the promise was you can keep your doctor, you can keep your insurance, you can keep your hospital. Those things proved not to be true. As many people lost their doctor, lost their insurance, many people that were in serious treatment conditions, cancer, MS, other diseases, had to switch doctors and go back through all their treatment again. We're trying to find ways to be able to hold those individuals harmless so that we don't cause them another round of consternation and pain and what is life-threatening for them. But still be able to transition out of this system. So it will be difficult to do, but we now have the House, the Senate, and the White House. And Dr. Tom Price, who will be leading Health and Human Services, will be able to do some things on the executive side. We'll be able to do some things on the legislative side, and we'll work together to try to make sure we protect people.
The calendar and the Constitution have a big circle around January 20th, Inauguration Day coming our way. And will you be somewhere near the stage on that Inauguration Day?
I will be. I'll actually be on the stage that day. So we have a lot of Oklahomans that are coming to Washington, D.C. that day. We have about 350 tickets that were given to my office, about 350 that were given to Inhofe's office. All of those have been taken. Each of the congressional offices have about 150 tickets. Those are all taken up. That's a lot of Oklahomans that are coming up to visit the inauguration. I still tell people, if you want to have a last-second burst to be able to come up to the inauguration, standing room in the mall is always open, and individuals can come and stand on the mall. Now, you may be way back in the mall, but every American is welcome to be able to come to the inauguration. The hard part now is going to be finding a hotel anywhere close to Washington, D.C., but every American's welcome to come.
Well, maybe if I don't plan on going, but maybe as retired military, I can find a spot on Andrews Air Force Base or someplace close. Anyway, the new administration moving forward rapidly, and I'm sure the confirmation process will be among the first things that the Senate will take up on probably the 20th or 21st of January.
That's correct. Yeah, that is correct. So the Senate not only is in the legislative business, but the Senate's also in the personnel business. We have to do the confirmation for all the cabinet officials. There are about 1,200 total people in government that require a Senate confirmation. So that's a lot of debate. Those are a lot of votes, and it's early on in this presidency. So the first 3 months of the presidency, we're going to deal with a lot of confirmation votes and a lot of debate. We're going to deal with a lot of what's called Congressional Review Act and trying to get rid of some of these midnight regulations that the administration has poked in at the last minute. We have a mechanism to be able to unwind those, but it takes about 10 hours of debate to unwind each one. So we'll go through that, as well as Obamacare repeal and replace and the other things that have to be there. So there's a lot on the plate. I ran into yesterday Scott Pruitt in the hallway, as most of the individuals that are secretaries or cabinet officials are walking the hallways of the Senate right now, meeting with different senators and getting a chance to chat and answer questions leading up to their formal hearing processes. And most of those will begin next week. Both for Attorney General, EPA, Department of Defense, Intel, CIA, many of these key positions on national security. We'll try to get those completed within the next couple of days, and so that we can hopefully have a vote to get the national security team on board day one on January the 20th.
EPA has and has not been, depending on the administration, a cabinet job per se, but those department heads are very critical to the operation of the government. I was looking at some numbers recently, and with very, very few exceptions over our country's history, most of the time the Senate has deferred to the judgment of the president, whoever he has been at that time, on most of those cabinet officials.
Well, I would say for cabinet officials, they can make a difference if they'll engage. And what's fascinating to me is cabinet officials either come in and fill a spot or they come in with a mission to be able to get something done. And the cabinet officials that I continue to meet with here are cabinet officials that are walking in and saying, there's something that needs to be done. There is a problem that's happening. And you take Scott Pruitt talking through on EPA. Scott's main issue is the EPA is not following the law. It's not that he's anti-environmental. He has all these false accusations on him. Scott's been one of the leading people protecting Oklahoma's water as Attorney General. But the key aspect for him has been there's a state responsibility in the federal law, and there's a federal responsibility. And the federal government's trying to take on the state responsibility, and that's not their job. And so I'm looking forward to having individuals come in and say, what's the law and what needs to be enforced? And then what can we actually move forward and be able to fix that's consistent with law and not try to make up law as we go?
And that's consistent with the comments that he made in Bartlesville the morning after that nomination was made public. One of the questions was along those lines, and his response, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember his exact words, let's go back and reference the Clean Water Act. What did the law say? What did Congress say? What were the words that Congress used at that time? And I think that's what we can expect from a lawyer, from a former attorney general, where, like you said, his emphasis was on enforcing the law as it was written.
You know, I'd like to see people in any cabinet position that their agenda is to follow the law. That's a good agenda to have because that brings stability to the country and brings opportunity. when businesses and private landowners don't know what the rules are because they feel like anyone can make up or change the rules as they go, that brings great instability. People stop investing and people stop trusting. When there's a law and everyone follows the law, everyone knows if there's going to be something different, it's going to be when there's a new law. Congress will debate it. It'll be out in the open, and everyone will have an opportunity to be able to give input on that, and then there'll be the transition. That's a much more stable way. That's how our government has run in the past, and it'd be good to be able to get back to that.
In past conversations, you and I have talked about the budget process, and I know your first choice would be to have already passed a budget in regular order. That didn't happen. We're operating under another CR now. Where do we go from here in the new Congress?
New Congress has a deadline sitting on it by the end of March to be able to get a budget document together and to be able to push that or to be able to do another continuing resolution. I'm going to continue to push what I had before. We need to do the appropriation bills that give specific instructions. The only way that you make real changes in any of the waste that we see in government is to do real appropriations votes because then you can actually get specific on it. When it's a continuing resolution, it's just changed the date from last year to this year, regardless of inefficiencies that are built in. So we'll continue to push that. That will be something that will be late March, and that will be a major part of the debate at that time.
Speaking of waste and inefficiency, you have carried on Senator Coburn's tradition of a waste publication, gone by a slightly different name, but it's the same basic publication. Can people still get a copy of that, and do you continually update that publication on the waste report?
So here's what we do with it. The book is called Federal Fumbles, 100 Ways the Federal Government Has Dropped the Ball. And that resource outlines a little bit different than what Dr. Coburn did. He really focused in on just the areas of waste and spending. I focus in on regulations where the federal government is exceeding its responsibility and on wasteful spending. And we try to make it a helpful document by listing here's the wasteful part of it and here's the solution and who is it that needs to have this solution. So if it's the administration, if it's Congress, it's identified who it is, and then if it's Congress, here's the exact piece of legislation that needs to resolve that. We put out 100 of those, and that becomes our to-do list, and then we walk through that for the next year. And no, we don't forget about the one that we had previous. We're still working through that. In fact, one of the major pieces that we have called the Taxpayer's Right to Know, we hope to get that passed still in the next couple of days. That was something from our book 2 years ago that we're finally getting very, very close to, and it looks like we'll finally get done with. The House passed it unanimously yesterday. We hope to get it passed and still get it done during this administration time even.
And I'd love to expound on that with you a little bit. Basically, in a nutshell, it is exactly what the title says it is. The taxpayer has a right to know where every dollar, every penny of their tax bill is spent and how it's used, right?
That's correct. It lays out duplication in government. It lays out how money is being used. And right now, you cannot do that. Even I want to be able to get a detailed report about what's happening in an agency or where there's duplication in government. I have to go see, call the GAO. They do an 18-month study, and they bring me the results back. That should be Googled in 18 seconds, not an 18-month study from some federal agency. The way to solve that is to be able to get all that out in public, and then we can scan it, we can review it, and every American can say, why do we have duplication and waste in this area, and we can go after it.
And you can say it's right here. It's this bill, this dollar right here. Senator, thank you so much for your time this morning, checking in with the taxpayers, and I hope to see you up on the stage with your friends on Inauguration Day. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Senator Lankford with us this morning on 1400 K1.